Life. Really exciting thing to look at. The Bible is full of life. It's the whole point, isn't it? Great looking at the talks that you've got lined up for this, looking at the list of them. I was slightly worried in the week because I thought there was four talks, and then when I looked in the week, I saw that there was two topics for I, and I thought, hang on, is my talk meant to cover intentionality and identity? Because it definitely doesn't at the minute. And then realised that there's eight talks and there's two for each letter, so it's fine, don't worry. But it's great. I mean, some of the talks in here, they're really going to build liberty into you guys. They're really going to build affirmation. There's really going to be some really kind of encouraging words. This one tonight on intentionality, I'd actually say this probably fits more into the category of challenging. So we'll see where we go. I'm just going to pray again. We can never pray too much. Thank you so much, Hazel, for praying that into me. And on similar lines, just that the Spirit would be with us and that he would speak through what we're going to look at today in God's Word. Yeah, Father, Lord, I pray your Spirit would be here. Lord, as just been said, Lord, would you cut out the rubbish and just leave what is left of you, Father? Would you just really speak to us this evening? Would you challenge us, Father? But, Lord, would you encourage us that we are here because we're your people, Father, and you have called us here, Father? Lord, we just pray that you'd be with us this evening. Amen. Great. So I think this is the third talk that you've had in your life series. And I've kind of cheated a little bit. So, intentionality, that's the title I was given. I've been a little bit cheeky. I've added a couple more words. So I've added direction, and I've added destination as well. It's not going to be three times as long. It's still going to fit in. Don't worry about it. But I think if we are truly to live an intentional life as God has called us to, we also need to consider our direction and our destination. So I'm going to be looking at those. And then just to add another bit into it, I'm also going to be looking at them in a little bit of a weird order. But we'll bring it all together at the end. Don't worry, it'll make sense. So we're going to start with destination. Like I said, a bit of a strange order. So, destination. What is a destination? In fact, before then, why are we looking at destination when we're looking at intentionality? Well, the reason for me is that if we purely just looked at how can we live intentionally, it's very possible to live intentionally for the wrong things. I mean, you watch the news, there's lots of reports about people who are intentionally living to harm people or to oppress people. It's very easy for us to see that and say, yeah, it's possible to live intentionally badly. But I think also maybe more hard for us to look at is we can look at ourselves, can't we, and think, actually, there's lots of things I do intentionally that are wrong. You know, often I'm driven by jealousy or greed or selfishness to do things that are wrong. So I'll intentionally make actions that are wrong. So it's important for us, before we start to think about our intentions, to look at what our destinations are going to be. And then we know that we're heading in the right direction. So destinations. So what could we look for destinations in? Well, many things. So ministry would be the obvious. Let's do the religious one first. Ministry in the church. What you're doing in the church. Maybe particular roles that you're performing or particular groups that you lead. But also everything else which is just as valid, such as career. You could have destinations in your career or in your job or in your family even, or your relationships or your education. All of these things, you can have destinations that you want to get to, kind of a place that you want to be in that you're not there yet. It might be a physical place, emotional. It could be just a self-learning thing. But all of these things, we can have destinations in all of these areas in our lives. Now, our culture at the minute is currently, it's a bit of like a live in the moment kind of thing. That's the ultimate. If you can live in the moment, then you've made it. Or, you know, kind of go with the flow, and that's great. This is not the biblical model for living. It just really isn't. We're not to go with the flow. You know, we should be flexible, absolutely, but we need to have a mind for what is coming next. We need to have a thought of our destinations. Now, this is so clearly modelled. We're not going to look at all these people individual because we would be here all night. But just to name a few biblical characters that had clear destinations. I mean, they didn't know exactly where they were going to end up, but they all had an idea that they were going somewhere in the future with God. Moses, David, Ruth, Esther, Jesus himself, Paul, Peter, Simon, all of these people, they had very clear visions of where they were going in the future. And we can see from what we read in our Bibles, just the kind of the way that God took them from where they were to the place that he had for them. So destination is important so that we know where we're heading, so that we know that before we get to our intentions, we know that our intentions are for a good thing. They can be big or they can be small. They can be a destination you want to reach this week or tonight. Or they can be something in that, you know, that horrible question you might get if anyone's going through job interviews at the minute, or if you're at school, you know, where do you want to be in 5 years kind of thing. It always comes up. Like, I don't know, I want to be on holiday and on a beach or something. Like, that might be the true thing, but actually you have to come up with something that sounds a bit more professional than that. So it can be any of those things, any kind of size, but all of these have to have destinations. Now, this might be difficult for you. You might be sitting there thinking, actually, I don't really think about life like that. There aren't things I think in the future that I want to get to. I don't really have any destinations at the minute. Kind of, I don't want to kind of fall this first hurdle of the talk, and then the rest is going to be irrelevant. So let me share one with you, which is something that we're all called for. God calls all to know him better, to get to know him better, to get in a closer relationship with him. He's completely open to us. We just need to come to him. So that is a destination to get to, and that's one that we should always be walking towards. So I just encourage you, if you can't hold any destinations in your mind from those kind of things I spoke about jobs, families, etc., hold that one in your mind as we're going through the rest of this talk, and that'll be really helpful. Okay, so having looked at destination, so to kind of summarize that, it's something that allows us to be intentional about good things in all areas of our lives. That's the purpose of our destination. So next, we're going to look at intentionality. So why is our intentionality important? So a bit of an example from my life. As many of you know, I'm married to Emma, the beautiful girl sat just over there. Something that's key for a marriage is communication. It's like absolutely foundational. Now, when me and Emma are communicating, when we're having a chat, it's very important that I'm intentional. If I'm not intentional, if I'm just left to my own devices and just don't really make an effort in any way, when Emma's talking to me, my natural thing is to be listening a little bit, but mainly thinking about what I'm going to say next. It's really funny when you say that. I've used that example on other talks previously, and you get a few people go, "That's terrible," and you get a few people go, "Yeah, I do that all the time." So it's one of those things, isn't it? I need to make an intentional action to listen to Emma. I need to intentionally ensure I'm hearing what she's saying and understanding how she's feeling. And if I don't do that, if I don't put that effort in, it's damaging to our marriage. And in fact, and the opposite is true. When I do put that intention in, it is beneficial. It's good for our marriage. We communicate well. And interestingly, for Emma, has a similar thing, but almost the other way around. So for Emma, the intentionality comes when she has to voice how she's feeling, because she'll often hold it to herself. If she's upset or angry about something, she'll hold it within. So Emma has to intentionally speak out and let me know. And again, when Emma's intentional in this way, it's good for our marriage. If she isn't, it can be damaging. So intention is absolutely key. I mean, that's just an example from my life, but a better example would be to look at Jesus. He's just the prime example of intentionality. He's just, as in Sunday school and all other works of life, he is always the answer. So let's look at a couple of examples where Jesus models this. So this one, first one, I want to look at Luke 13, 31 to 33. It's from the ESV, if you want to follow along, but obviously it's also on the screen behind me. It says this: "At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.' And he said to them," that's Jesus, "'Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem.'" It's quite a bizarre verse, maybe one that you've not heard about loads. But what's happening, he says, the Pharisees are coming to Jesus saying, oh, you need to run away. Herod's coming after you. Now, in the context of the Gospels, you might think that, you know, probably the reason they're doing this is they're kind of scaremongering him a bit because they didn't like what Jesus was doing. They didn't like the teachings he was bringing. They didn't like the crowds he was gathering. But even if they were genuinely had a fear for his life, because Herod was out to kill Jesus, even if they did have that that genuine concern for him, the point is still valid in this next bit in how Jesus reacts. He says, get away from here, for Herod wants... he says, go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today, tomorrow, and the third day, and I will finish my course. He's clear, isn't he? He's saying that you're telling me to go away over here, but actually, no, my intention is over here. This is where I'm going. I've come here to do this, and I won't be distracted. You know, even in the threat of his life, his intention is unwavering. And it goes a step further than that in this passage, because as we get to verse 33, we see a picture of actually what Jesus' whole mission was. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Jesus is given another picture of the fact that everything he's doing, all his ministry, is heading towards this point at Jerusalem. You know, he talks about curing people and casting out demons, and yeah, Jesus cured people, he cast out demons. He didn't cure everybody, and he didn't cast out all demons. That was something he did, but his mission was to get to Jerusalem. And as those of us that know the end of the story, to get there and to conquer death completely. That was his mission. It wasn't one of self-preservation, which the Pharisees are trying to argue with him here. Like, look, the most important thing is you preserve yourself. And Jesus is saying, no, my intention is to go to Jerusalem and die there. Incredible, a bit of intention. And then to look at another example of Jesus' unwavering intentionality. This is Matthew 26, 52-54. It's from the ESV again, and like I say, the words are behind me. So this is in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Roman soldiers have just come to come to arrest Jesus and take him away. Peter has taken out a sword to fight the Roman soldiers, and this is how Jesus reacts. Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled? That is, must be so. This is incredible, isn't it? It's another picture. This is another step on from the last one, where the disciples are going, oh, you might get killed. This one is though, no, Jesus knows where he's going. Look, you're going to be taken away here and crucified. And it goes to another level. And he says, look, it's not that I don't have the means to do it. I can do it. I can get out of this. But how much would we wish we could call down 12 legions of angels, maybe at work, or, you know, your boss is giving you a hard time or something. I don't know. But Jesus says, look, I've got the means. Do you not think I have the means to get out of this? But no, my intentions drive me to go with these people. It is the scriptures will be fulfilled. That's my purpose. It's incredible, Jesus' intentionality here. So that's intentionality. It points us in the direction of our destination, and it's often against our natural responses. We've got to realize that about intentionality. Sometimes our intentions have to be against what we'd naturally like to do. You know, anyone who's studying at the minute, I don't know if your natural thing is to study. For some people it is. For Emma it was a bit. For some people, you know, your natural thing is to study. Mine naturally wasn't. I had to intentionally sit down and revise. And sometimes that's a battle. So that intention is often against our natural responses. And like we saw in this passage, a step on from revising, I'll admit, when your life is in danger, choosing not to waver from what your intention is. So that's destination and intentionality. So the way that I think this works is we've got kind of intentionality is kind of over here, and our intentionality is kind of like a signpost. It's like us, we're stood here and we actually look towards our destination, which is over there. So our intentionality is for us to be focused, looking and praying and seeking our destination. And our destination is over here. This is where we want to get to. But there's this kind of big bit in the middle. Or maybe a little bit. It might be small, but it might be huge. this kind of bit that goes from taking us from the thought that is, yes, I want to get there, and the thought of going, woo, I'm here. And you know, there's this bit in the middle, the bit which is normally more difficult than a 3-meter walk. That's our direction. That's actually, you know, if we start here and we just look over here and go, that's where I want to get to, but we never actually walk in that direction, or in fact, if we go in this direction, we don't get to our destination. So I want to look at this one particularly because I think this is often the one we miss. I think often we can have destinations that we want to get to. We can be intentional. I've done that the wrong way around, haven't I? Intentional. We can be intentional about where we want to get to, and we can have destinations that we want to get to. But often it's actually our direction that is the one that we miss. I want to give you a couple of examples from my life of this. So there's a leader in our church back at home, one of the elders there, who actually, who married me and Emma here in this church. He never married anyone before, so it was a bit of a risk, but he did all right. Apart from getting our names wrong in the practice, he missed Emma's middle name. But apart from that, he's great. He's fantastic. And something that I love about Johnny is he's memorized Romans, the book. He's memorized the whole thing. It's fantastic. And it's really incredible when he's chatting to Christians, and he just has this wealth of truth in his head that he can discuss with people. It's really powerful. And when he's chatting to non-believers, answering questions and talking them through what faith means, he's got this kind of bank of knowledge and truth in his head. And from chatting to him as well, he talks about how powerful that is in his everyday life, just having this truth kind of etched into his brain as he goes through his day-to-day life. Now, hearing this, I thought that's fantastic. But I mean, about 18 months ago, I thought, no, that's good to the point that I need to do this. I need to memorize Romans. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to get there. I said, that's my destination. That's where I want to go. And my intention was to get there. I was over here going, yes, I want to get to memorizing Romans. That would be great. My direction, not so good. So, how far do you think I've got through the book of Romans, memorizing it? So, I've got Paul, a servant of Christ. Now, that isn't even the full first verse, so I'm not doing very well. He then goes to talk about being an apostle or something. But, you know, I mean, I haven't done very well. And it's because I've been stood here, and I've still been going, yeah, I'd love to get over there. But I haven't walked away, I don't think, but I haven't even edged forward at all. I haven't even moved. That's why a direction is absolutely vital. It's very possible to have, you know, it's a good destination to have, and my intentions are right. I want to get there, but I'm not walking anywhere near close to it because I'm not putting anything into action. My intentions, which are vital, but they're not driving my direction. Another example of where I'm maybe doing slightly better, I'm running the London Marathon at the end of April. I was forgetting when it was then. It keeps getting closer and closer, which is difficult. But I'm running the London Marathon at the end of April, so that requires some training. My intention is to run a personal best time. So that's my intention. My direction, my destination will be there and running and hopefully getting a personal best time. The direction bit is the training in the middle. It's the going out, doing the runs. I think I'm doing reasonably well. You always think you could do more. I did a 20-mile run yesterday. The reason I'm walking up and down like this is because I think if I stop, I might start to seize up. So that's why I'm walking around a lot. The kind of talk suits that as well, which is good. But yeah, so my directions are matching my intentions. You know, a 20-mile run, I love running, but a 20-mile run in training is still pretty rubbish. You know, it's can be pretty boring. So that is an example from my life, maybe where my intentions are matched by my directions, and hopefully I will reach my destination. Now, just as a side on this, maybe not part of the talk, but something that I really noticed when I was preparing this that really challenged me is, here are my two examples. The example I've got of where I'm not following this format is my commitment to God's word. And the example of me following it is my hobby. You know, how great would it be if sometimes our commitment to our hobbies was matched in our commitment to God's word? That really challenged me when I was when I was preparing this, as I put those examples down and then realised. And so, yeah, if that challenges you, really do take that away. I know I'm going to be thinking about that in the coming weeks, how our commitment can sometimes be quite strong in our hobbies and yet quite weak in our commitment to God's word. But yeah, just as a sidebar to challenges. But yeah, we can see that's a couple of examples from my life. But again, let's look at Jesus as the central figure to the Bible and his unwavering direction. Because he didn't only say these things to the Pharisees, he didn't only rebuke them, but he also walked towards Jerusalem. He also willingly was taken into the hands of the Romans, and he never once wavered and kind of took a detour to try and make things easier for himself. He's a great example throughout his whole life of having a clear destination that he walked towards every day. Now, back at my church in Birmingham, our church leader about 7 years ago this is my second year of university, did a bit of a series on something similar to this. And he came up with a really good phrase, which has stuck with me to the point that I remember it quite regularly. And actually, a couple of my friends would quote this phrase to each other now and again when it's relevant. So it's really, really has stuck with me well. I'd love to be able to... Andrew saw it on my PowerPoint and said, oh, that's very profound. I can't claim it for my own, I'm afraid. But it was this. It is our direction, not our intentions, that determine our destinations. Now, don't read this phrase wrong. Our intentions are vital. It's vital we have the right intentions, because otherwise that will never drive our direction. But it's very important for us to recognise this phrase. It's our direction, not our intentions, that determine our destinations. Now, just to give some examples of this, it's kind of obvious, actually, when you give some examples. I mean, if I was... I'll be heading back to Birmingham tonight with Emma. If we were to head up to the M40 and to head south down the M40... we won't get to Birmingham. Even if we fully intend to get back to Birmingham tonight, if we head south on the M40, for those of you who don't know your geography, that's the wrong way, Birmingham's north, we won't get there. We'll probably get to Oxford. Some of you might be saying, oh yeah, actually that's much better than getting to Birmingham, so why don't you do that? But no, we won't meet our intentions, will we? Our directions won't match. Our direction won't match our intentions, and our destination will be determined by our direction and not our intentions. It's absolutely vital that we see that. So bringing this all together, where I've got to. Destinations, that might challenge you to think about that. What are my destinations? Where do I want to get to in different areas of my life? You may have multiple ones of these, like in your family or in relationship. Where do I want to get to in my relationships? In your career, you might think, where do I want to be? What skills do I want to acquire to move through my career? That's a godly thing to want. We don't separate spiritual and secular. It doesn't work like that. Well, maybe it is, is actual destinations in terms of places. Maybe God's put a place on your heart that you want to move to, or somewhere that you want to go and do short-term mission trips. All of these things, I'd really encourage you to search your hearts for things that God has put on them, to speak to God and just ask for destinations that he has for you. And obviously overarching that as well, just the destination that I'd encourage all of us to have, to get to know him more. Really do seek that as an overriding destination for your life. And then next, intentionality. We've got to intentionally pray into these things. We've got to intentionally look to these things and think, what do I need to do to get there? And then finally, direction. We've got to move in the direction. We've got to move, haven't we? Does anyone know the Switchfoot song that says, "I dare you to move," which I think is really good for kind of our generation, in that it's... We are very good at having all these wild dreams about where we want to go to, but actually when it comes to taking the steps to getting there, we can find it difficult. And in our churches as well, we do that as well. This is a collective message as well as a singular one. So yeah, we need to look at our direction. Is our direction matching our intentions, and are we moving towards our destination? Now, finally, this, like I say, that can be quite challenging to think about that, to kind of, you're almost doing a self-assessment of your life and how you're doing and where you're going to, and that can be quite difficult. So I want to finish by really encouraging you with something that it says in Proverbs, but it's littered throughout the Bible. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. It's important that we know that God drives all of this. I've just done the example of me walking across here, but really the true way to have it is for God to be stood next to you and or encouraging you and pointing you in the right direction, because he is master of it all. Our intentions, he puts things on our hearts. He gives us the passion. He gives us destinations. He gives us places he wants to take us to. There'll be things in you now that you want to do that God has built into you from when he knitted you together. And our direction, it says he will make your paths straight. The way this is, you know, this is God talking about the fact that actually that in that most difficult bit, which is actually the direction here, when you kind of start walking, and actually it ends up being harder than you thought it was going to be when you were back there. It is God who is there sustaining you and supporting you. It's really important that we understand that God is overarching all of this, and it's in his strength that we can do, that we can reach these destinations. So I'm just going to pray that over us now and close, and then I'm going to hand over to Hazel to do a bit more praying in groups. Yeah, Father, Lord, I thank you that you put desires on our hearts, Lord. Father, I thank you that you care about the desires of our hearts, Father. Lord, and I thank you that you call us into a great mission with you, Father. It speaks in your word as we are a chosen people, Father. What an incredible thing that is to be chosen by the King and the author of the universe, Father. And I just pray now you would fill us with a passion and a desire to reach destinations that you have for us, Lord. Would you be filling our hearts now just with areas, Father, in our family life, Lord, areas where we can where we can develop relationship, Father, where we can make you a more central part of our relationships, Father, whether that be with other believers or non-believers, Father, I pray that you would come in and transform those relationships. And Lord, Father, as we walk towards these destinations, Lord, when we hit difficulties, Father, or it just seems like we can't be bothered to go there, Lord, I just pray for the motivation, Father. I pray for your Holy Spirit, Lord, to come and to empower us, Lord, in those moments where we struggle and we waver in our direction. And Father, I thank you that you are over all of this, Lord. Father, I thank we stand on the solid foundation of you as you've been looking at in these other talks, and you will do in looking at identity and in freedom, Father. I thank you that that also characterizes what we've looked at tonight, Father. There's a huge freedom in discovering all of this that we've spoken about tonight, Father. Lord, would we go from this place, Father, being more intentional? Father, would we go from this place seeking vision for where you want to take us, Father, and moving towards it, Lord? Would you do that in our hearts this evening? Amen.